If you noticed in the bulletin this morning, I want to speak on the subject, the draw of Jesus. The draw of Jesus. Jesus had a magnetism about him that drew people to him and still draws people to him. It was prophesied in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, 3. The Bible says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And by the way, unless he draws us, we won't come. Amen. The only way we can come is if God draws us. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." You see, as mankind, we don't go looking for God on our own. We're dead to the things of God. The Bible says we're a slave to sin. And we only come to God when God puts a desire in our heart and our soul to come to him. Now, some people say, well, God only gives that desire to some people. He gives this group of people the desire to come, and this group of people, they don't have the desire to come. And they believe in predestination, that God has predestined these people to be saved and these people to be lost. I don't believe that predestination is taught in the Bible. I think predestination is a lie from hell that Satan started to discourage some people from never listening to the gospel. You see, God's not willing that any should perish. God deals to every man, the Bible says, a measure of faith. And so people that are lost have nobody to blame but themselves. God wants everybody to come. He draws everybody to himself. He gives everybody enough faith to believe when they hear the gospel. A person that's lost, that's on their way to hell, that's under the condemnation of sin, is there because they have chosen not to come. Because God draws every person to come to him. We see that, first of all, in his birth. When Jesus was born in that stable in Bethlehem, he drew many to himself. He drew the angels. You see, God didn't have to order the angels to be part of the heavenly choir that night. He didn't have to draft the angels and say, "Hey, on this night, you're going to be part of the choir." No, every angel raised their hand and said, "I want to be part of the choir." There were no empty seats in the choir. Everybody wanted to be there that night to see God take the form of a man. Everybody, all the angels wanted to be there that night to see the prophecy fulfilled that a virgin would be born in that city called Bethlehem. Every angel wanted to be there to see the birth of the Christ child. And so when God said, "Hey, I'm putting together a choir," when the archangel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord," all the angels wanted to be there to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to men." The angels were drawn to Christ. The shepherds were drawn to Christ. They heard the announcement from the angel. They said, "Let's go see this thing which has come to pass." And so they left. The Bible says they came with haste. They left their flocks and they came and found that little baby in the manger in Bethlehem that they'd heard about. Christ has a magnetism. He drew the wise men. They were from the east. They had read the prophecy of Daniel. They had counted down the years according to that prophecy. They came. Some Bible scholars think there were over 100 wise men that started out. Some Bible scholars think they traveled a great amount of time, a year or more. But they came because they were drawn to that one whose star rose in the east and guided them to Bethlehem. Herod was drawn. He didn't want to come like the others wanted to come to celebrate the birth of Christ. He wanted to destroy this newborn king. And when the wise men didn't return and say, "Hey, we found him. He's in this particular place." You know the story. He sent his army and killed all the little babies in that region that were under 2 years old. And so Christ has a magnetism about him at his birth. He still does. This Christmas, we will send out cards and we will sing carols and we will exchange gifts and we will put up manger scenes and we will have Christmas plays. And people will make their semi-annual trek to church. Semi-annual because they come on Christmas and Easter, some people. But they will make their semi-annual pilgrimage to church because Christ still draws people at his birth. He also drawed people. He also drew people in his life. He was different from any man that walked the face of the earth. The Bible says they never heard a man speak like he did. The Bible says they never saw the things that he did before. He did things other men could not do. The Bible says he taught as others did not teach. And as a result of all that, every place that Jesus went, he drew a crowd. Now again, I know there were times that he was by himself and he was spending time in prayer. And I know there were times when it was only him and his disciples. But most of the time that he spent on this earth was in the middle of a crowd. Most of the time he spent on this earth was teaching and preaching to tell others about the kingdom of God. He drew the down and outers like poor blind Bartimaeus and the woman at Sychar's well. He drew the up and outers like Zacchaeus and Nicodemus. He drew the in and outers like Peter and Thomas. And he drew the out and outers like Andrew and Paul. And as they came, as they were drawn to the Savior, they heard the gospel. They heard about their sin. They heard about their need for a Savior. And they were drawn to Christ. And some of them stayed. And they gave their very lives for this one that drew them to himself. He drew the sick, the woman with the issue of blood, the nobleman whose son was sick, the mentally deranged, the leper, the blind, the lame. They all said, if you will, you can heal us. And he did on many different occasions. He drew the little children. Remember the disciples said, hey, the master doesn't have time for you now. Go away. But Jesus said, no, no, no. The kingdom of God is made up of little children. Let them come. He drew the teenagers and the young adults, the parents and the grandparents. He drew the Pharisees and the lawyers, those that tried to trip him up, those that tried to trap him and catch him in a lie. Even those that wanted nothing to do with what he was about, they were drawn to this one called Jesus. So Jesus in his birth draws. In his life, he draws. And then we see the draw of Jesus at the cross, at Calvary's cross. He drew the Old Testament prophets to the cross as they foretold what would happen there. Isaiah wrote, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He drew the Old Testament prophets. He drew God the Father to the cross. As God watched, as Jesus took all the sin of all mankind upon himself, as God the Father put it there, God the Father had to turn his back on his only begotten Son. And you know what happened in that moment. The Bible says that the sun went dark. The Bible says that God turned his back for the first time and the only time in all eternity on his Son. And Jesus cried out from that cross what David wrote hundreds of years earlier. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? If hell is separation from God, when Jesus hung on the cross and God turned his back on his Son, then Jesus suffered at that moment our hell for us. At that moment, he paid the price that we owed. At that moment, he secured salvation for every single one of us who deserved the penalty of sin, separation from God. But he took it for us. He drew Satan to the cross. Satan tried to keep him off the cross. He tried to kill him as a baby. He used Herod's army to try to do that. He tried to break a bone on several different occasions because he knew that in order for Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice, he had to mirror the Passover lamb who was offered that night in Egypt, unblemished, without a broken bone. He tried to disqualify him in the wilderness when he tempted him three different times. And every time, Jesus fought off Satan with the word of God. Is it not written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So even Satan, who did not want to happen what happened on Calvary, who tried to do everything he could to stop what was happening on the cross, was drawn to the cross by Christ. He drew Pilate, the Roman governor, who said, I find no fault in this one. He drew the thief, who saw him die and listened as to what he said and saw the compassion in his voice as he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who saw the love in his voice when he asked his disciple John to care for his mom. He saw and said to Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Amen. He drew the centurion who watched and said at the end of the day, surely this man was the Son of God. And I want to tell you this morning, he draws every person to the cross. Every person in this room, you have to come to the cross. You are drawn to the cross by Jesus Christ. Most of us have come and we've received what Jesus did for us on that cross. He paid our price. He paid our penalty. He paid what we owe. And we have come to the cross and we have put our faith in what Jesus did on Calvary. The blood that was shed. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. And we have put our faith in that blood to cover our sin, to pay for our sin, to make atonement for our sin, to make us one with God, because our sins are under the blood. They are washed away by the blood. God puts them as far as the east is from the west. He puts them behind his back. He'll never get them anymore. And we've come to the cross because we've been drawn to the cross by the Savior of the cross. And we put our faith in him. Amen. But there's some here this morning, even though you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've still come to the cross. Because every person will come to the cross. Every person will come. You say, oh no, not me, preacher. I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. There ain't no such thing as an atheist. I'm sorry, you ain't one. You will come to the cross. Now, you will not, in faith, receive what Jesus did for you on that cross. You will reject him. You will reject him. You will reject the sacrifice that he made. You will reject the payment that he made, even though he did it for you. For God so loved the world, but God so loved you that he sent his only begotten Son to die for you. And you'll come to the cross. And you'll reject the payment that was made on that cross. And you'll go out into eternity separated from God. You see, you can't blame God. God draws every person to that cross. What we do with it is up to us. Up to us. God hasn't deemed that, hey, this group of people will be lost and this group of people will be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. The ground at the foot of the cross, I've always heard, is level. Nobody comes with any advantage or nobody comes with any disadvantage. We all come as sinners in need of a Savior. Amen. And on that cross is the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God who paid the price for our every sin. If you receive it, if you receive the price that he paid, you can claim the gift of life that God offers to every person. Amen. But if you reject it, if you say no to what was done on the cross, then you are damned for an eternity in hell. Jesus draws every person. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? Most people here this morning have already received it. But I got to believe in a crowd this big, there's three or four people that have not received it yet. And I beg you this morning, I urge you this morning, please, 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 do not walk out of this place without knowing that Jesus is your Savior. Amen. He wants to be. He desires to be. That's why he died for you. And this morning you need to come and receive him. So he draws us to the cross. And then finally, we see the draw of Jesus in the church. It was said about the church in Jerusalem, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They did it daily from house to house. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It'd be a wonderful thing for the same thing to happen at Fellowship Baptist Church. For us to teach and preach daily Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, we're going to fill ourselves with one of two things. We're either going to fill ourselves with ourselves, or we're going to fill ourselves with Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we either fill ourselves in this church with ourselves, or we fill ourselves with Christ. Think about two magnets. When you put the same poles of two magnets together, what do? They repel. They repel each other. When you put the North Pole and the South Pole of a magnet together, what do? They come together. They attract each other. You say, why do you say that? I'm going to tell you. If we fill ourselves with ourselves and we go out into the world with people full of themselves, what's going to happen? We're going to repel them. But if we fill ourselves with Christ and we go out into a world of people full of themselves, what happens? Christ will attract them. He will draw them. He will bring them to himself. And so, as Christians, we have a choice to make as well. Are we going to fill ourselves with Christ, or are we going to fill ourselves with ourselves? I don't know about you. I'd rather be filled with Jesus than I would be filled with Daryl. I like Daryl most of the time, but I don't want to be filled with Daryl. I want to be filled with Jesus, because that's the only way that I can make a difference in the world. They don't want me out there. They want the Savior of this book. They want Jesus Christ, and he will still draw people to himself today if we allow him to use us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessed promises that are in this book, that you draw us. And as we come to you, if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you will save us from the penalty of our sin. We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need a Savior, because the penalty of sin is death, separation from you. And we need a Savior. And God, you loved us so much that even while we were sinners, you sent your Son to die in our place. And I pray this morning for that one or two that are in this room who've never received Christ, who've never received the gift of salvation that he purchased on Calvary for all of us. Father, help them not to leave this place. Help them not to leave this place without receiving Christ, without asking Jesus to be their Savior. And then, Holy Spirit, I pray that you speak to the many Christians that are here. You drew us to Jesus. You saved us from the penalty of our sin. And now you've commissioned us to go out into the world and share the gospel with the world. Help us to be full of our Savior, so that when we go out into this world that needs him, they will be drawn to him. Bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to do what you tell us to do. Maybe there's some here that need to be baptized. Maybe there's some here that you've talked to about joining the church and they need to join the church this morning. Maybe there's some here that need to make some other decision for you. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd make yourself clear and we'd be obedient. We'd listen. Most of all, I pray for those that don't know Christ. Help them to come, Holy Spirit. Convict them. Bring them to the Savior this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.